Luke chapter 1. I want to read several scriptures to you today. And the message is the witness of John the Baptist and six others to Jesus of Nazareth. The witness of John the Baptist and six others to Jesus of Nazareth. And then, God willing, in the weeks that remain, I'll tell you more about John the Baptist. But, first of all, you'll see why I'm talking about his witness. In Luke chapter 1, verse 12, here is Zacharias, an old man and childless, and he's offering incense in the temple. And verse 12 says that Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, which means favored of the Lord. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be silent, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall come to pass, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And now, look at verse 24. "And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord done unto me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach upon men." Now, verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's time was fulfilled that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her kinfolk heard that the Lord had magnified his mercy towards her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they would have called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John." Now, look at verse 76. "Yea, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people in the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us, to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And verse 80, "And the child grew, and increased strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So here is the miraculous conception and birth of John the Baptist. Now, turn to John chapter 1. Look at verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. Now, look down at verse 19. And this is the witness of John. Notice that the message today is the witness of John the Baptist and six others to Jesus of Nazareth. This is the witness of John, when the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, Who are you? And he confessed and denied not. And he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. They said therefore unto him, Who are you? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith Isaiah the prophet. And they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why then do you baptize, if you are not Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water. In the midst of you standeth one whom you know not, even he that cometh after me, the laces of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. On the morrow, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is become before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. For this cause came I baptizing in water. And John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now chapter 5. I could read many more passages, but this is the last one that I want to read at this time. John chapter 5, verse 30. Our Savior is speaking. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You have sent unto John. I read you that in chapter 1. You have sent unto John, and he has borne witness unto the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man. Howbeit I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that burneth and shineth, and you were willing to rejoice for a season in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father that sent me, he hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent, him you believe not. You search the scriptures because ye think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. You will not come to me that you may have life. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, in the few portions that we've read, how full is the witness to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we're aware of how many more bore witness to your Son. And that is our desire today, to hear of the witness of John the Baptist and these six other witnesses to Jesus of Nazareth. So help us, our Father, to learn, to see the profusion of testimony that you've given concerning your Son from heaven. And so we look to you for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you have read the four Gospels and do not know who Jesus of Nazareth is, you are without excuse. From what I've told you, and just a few portions from the Gospels, you have heard the witness again and again as to who Jesus is. And if you ask, who is Jesus? In brief, Jesus is the only begotten, beloved Son of God the Father. Again, Jesus is the only begotten, beloved Son of God the Father. And you are without excuse if you ever have any questions in your mind as to what the Bible teaches and to what every honest, open-minded man has confessed concerning Jesus. Now, this is remarkable because you might ask the question, how could anyone, unless he has special help from God, know who Jesus is? The question is valid, and it deserves an answer, and the answer is given by Jesus himself. This is what our Savior says. He says, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know of what I speak, whether it is from God or whether I speak from myself. Listen to that again and grasp it. Our Savior has promised, if any man is willing to do the will of God, he shall know. That's a promise of Christ. If you will do God's will, the Lord Jesus promises you, you will know God's will. You will know who he is because people heard him preach. And they said, why? This man is from God. And others said, no, he speaks from himself. And the Lord Jesus said, the matter will be settled if you're willing to do God's will. Now, what happens is this, that some learn and are assured as to who Jesus is, but they're not willing to do God's will. And because of that, their whole life is one of confusion and frustration and sorrow like the rich young ruler. He came and he called our Savior, Good Master, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Savior told him, and he said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Notice the verse promised that if you're willing to do God's will, you shall know. But it said that he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions and he was not willing to do God's will. And so he never learned the truth in his heart to the degree of acceptance and embracing Jesus as the Son of God, who is worthy to sacrifice everything to him. And therefore, he went away sorrowful. Think of Zacchaeus, who climbed that tree, and he found out who Jesus was, and he rejoiced. And he said, the Savior said concerning him, today is salvation come to this house. The difference? Jesus speaks, and men listen to what he speaks. And if they're willing to do the truth that he speaks, then they will know. If they are not willing to do God's will, then darkness will fill their hearts and they will not know. And this is what I found. I had many more passages I could have read to you. But there has never been an open-hearted, honest man who wants to know who Jesus is, whom God did not reveal who Jesus was. This is what I find. Our Savior has mentioned four witnesses, and I could have read you other passages telling you of three more. In John 8, the Lord Jesus said, I bear witness of myself. That's five. In John 15, the Savior said, the Holy Spirit bears witness of me. That's six. And he said, and you, 12 apostles, bear witness of me. Those are seven witnesses as to who Jesus is. And all of their witnesses agree. There is not one who denies that Jesus is who God says he is. Now, if at first you do not know who Jesus is, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Because when our Savior came upon the scene, unlike the pictures that you see drawn of Jesus, he did not have a halo on his head, and he did not come dressed in the robes of a king with a crown upon his head. He came as a lowly carpenter, and he lived with his foster father, Joseph, and Mary in Nazareth. And yet this one, even when he was not known or recognized, he was still Jesus, the only begotten, beloved Son of God the Father. And I've mentioned seven witnesses. I could have read you many more, because these seven witnesses are these. Let's go over them again. Now think. The Lord Jesus said, you have sent unto John, and he bore witness of me. The Savior said, I have a greater witness than that of John. My works bear witness of me. He said, my Father bears witness of me. He said, the Scriptures bear witness of me. He said, the Holy Spirit beareth witness of me. He said, I bear witness of myself, and you, my 12 apostles, bear witness of me. Sevenfold witness as to who Jesus is. Now, this is what is startling and is frightening. Whenever the Lord Jesus came into the presence of demons, unclean spirits. They bore witness as to who Jesus was. Tell me of any disrespectful, incorrect denial of these demons or unclean spirits as to who Jesus was. This is what I spoke on one occasion. I may have given it here. I don't know. The orthodoxy of unclean spirits. Orthodoxy means straight, proper, correct. And if I read everything that an unclean spirit ever said to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolutely orthodox and correct. You can base your salvation upon what demons witness concerning Jesus. Whenever Jesus was going to cast them out, they said, "Have you come to destroy us before the time? We know who you are. You are the Son of God." Who could imagine such a thing? These demons calling Jesus the Son of God. On another occasion, this is what they said. "We know you who you are, the Holy One of God." Here are demons, and they confess who Jesus is. Alas, not for salvation, but because of their familiarity with Jesus, whom they worshipped in a past eternity. You realize that at one time there was no sin in heaven, there was no fallen angel, but every angel in God, cherubim, seraphim, all of these angelic beings, they worshipped the Son of God. And therefore, if they have spent years, countless years, in a past eternity with the Savior, do they not know who he is? Even though he is manifest in the flesh, they recognize him immediately. Now think of this. It is a contradiction, because the nation of Israel that supposedly knew and had spiritual insight as to who the Messiah was, John the Baptist said, "There standeth one in the midst of you whom you know not." They had no idea who he was. 30 years he was in Nazareth as a carpenter, and they never knew who he was. Now, John the Baptist made this confession. He said, "He is the Messiah, and I knew him not." He said, "But God was going to make certain that I did know who he was. And this is what God told me." He said, "Upon whomsoever you see the Spirit descending as a dove and abiding upon him, this is the Son of God." And when John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God as a dove descended from heaven, and it abode upon our Savior. And John the Baptist said, "I have seen, and I bear witness, that this is the Son of God." Now, this being true, what more evidence could a man ask for than a visible confession that heaven has been opened, that the Spirit of God has been sent by the Father upon the Son? And the point is this: this is my beloved Son. So, now we have the Trinity bearing witness as to who Jesus is. In John 8, the Lord Jesus said, "I bear witness of myself." And what did Jesus say of himself? He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, "I am God." Now, here is the Holy Spirit of God coming from heaven and abiding upon the Holy Son of God. Why? because he is acknowledging that this one is worthy, that this one is what the Father says he is. And the Father himself audibly says from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And tell me now, you who say, "Well, if God were to bear witness to his Son, I would accept that testimony." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have borne witness that Jesus is the Christ. So now, I've given you the witness of John the Baptist, I've given you the witness of God the Father, and I've given you the witness of the Holy Spirit. And yet the Lord Jesus says this. He said, "My witness is greater than John the Baptist." This is a remarkable thing. Here is a man sent from God, and John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so John's witness is that he's not only the Son of God, but he's also the Lamb of God. And he takes away the sin of the world. So here is the confession of John, and here is the confession of the Father and of the Spirit. But that confession, he says, is not as great as the confession that is witnessed to by the miracles, the works that I did on earth. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus has given this testimony. Do you realize that John the Baptist was without a prophet greater than himself? And how many miracles did John the Baptist perform? Not one. But he had vouchsafed to him a vision and a voice from heaven that many of the prophets in the Old Testament did not experience. But the Savior says this, "The works that I do, they are a greater witness than John the Baptist." For this reason, did you see what John the Baptist saw? No. Then his witness is simply his own personal testimony, and John could tell you a lie. But when our Savior performed miracles, there was no denying for this reason. God in Deuteronomy 13 and 18 tells us about miracles, and the Lord Jesus explains about the witness of miracles in this way. When that man was let down through the roof, and he looked at him and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisee said, "Who is this that blasphemeth? No one can forgive sins except God." The Lord Jesus said, "That you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins." He says to the man that was paralyzed, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man took up his bed and walked. He said, "Now, go home." And he went home. He said, "This is a proof that I have authority on earth to forgive sins." And what did that proof do? It filled their hearts with hatred and with murder. And they went out to destroy the Lord Jesus. Why? Because here was an irrefutable proof that he was who he said he was. He is the Son of God. He is the I Am. He is one who has authority on earth to forgive sins. And the proof of it, a miraculous power that is imparted to him by the Father. And instead of saying, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel," instead of saying that, this proof is hated, and they so love their position that they went out and desired to put Jesus to death. And so the witness of the sevenfold testimony that I've given you is not sufficient to convert the heart of man. This is what it says concerning John the Baptist. It says he came to bear witness to the light. And so He says, Jesus is the light. He says, Jesus is the Son of God. He says, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He says, Jesus is the Eternal One. John the Baptist tells us all these things concerning our Savior. And yet, when he tells them these things, it's not enough. And I know that what John the Baptist told them had already been working in the hearts of those to whom he spoke, because our Savior tells us this. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and it said, he lights every man that comes into the world. There is not one sinner that has ever been born that has not been given enough light to realize that there is a God. And when Christ is come and is testified to that Jesus is the Son of God, it says that Jesus lights every man that comes into the world. And so where are these Calvinists who say that they are damned, that they've never been given light, that there is no hope? It says, lights every man coming into the world. But this is what is so heartbreaking about the testimony and witness that is given to man. It says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so that is why men will not accept who Jesus is. It's not because there is no light. It says light is come into the world. And it says in John 1 that he lights every man coming into the world. But when the light comes into the hearts of some, it says they love darkness rather than light. And they would seek to extinguish the light as they tried to on the cross. But they only made the light burn brighter. There has never been a brighter exhibition of love than when Christ died on the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the Lord Jesus laid down his life on the cross, and the light from heaven shined in a way that man has never seen. And it says this, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the love of God, and the light of God, and the desire of God to save sinners shine from heaven most brightly when Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, his works prove that. It says in Deuteronomy 18 and in Deuteronomy 13, two things. God says, if I send a prophet, and he professes to be sent by me, if he says he's a prophet, and he tries to perform a miracle, and he's not able to perform that miracle, and if what he says doesn't come to pass, he says, is it not evident? He is no prophet sent by me. But the next portion is more difficult. It says, if a man comes and says he is a prophet and performs a miracle, you still are not to believe that I have sent him for this reason. What does he tell you after he has performed that miracle? What does he tell you? Does he tell you that I'm the only true God? That you are to live a life separate from sin? Or does he tell you to follow after other gods? And does he tell you that you're permitted to live a life of disobedience to God? It says, if he tells you that you are not to live according to what is written in the Word of God, he has not been sent by me. I have empowered him to do this to put you to the test. And therefore there are some who go through life and they see something that might be miraculous. But then the words that come out of this man's mouth do not go strictly according to everything that's in this book, but they go according to what he wants. And God says, that disallows his testimony. That shows you that he's false. First of all, he has to say that I have sent him. He has to perform a miracle. And then everything that he says has to be according to what is written in the Word of God. And this is what is going to happen to some who say things that are true, but do not live a life of truth. In the coming day, some are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in thy name? And they give other testimonies. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And so they said, we perform miracles. But he said, you are workers of iniquity. Depart from me. And so the witness that is given by Christ is proved by miracle. And then tell me anything that our Lord Jesus said that was never found to be true according to the Word of God. You say everything he said was always true. Then, if he says that he is a prophet, if he says he comes from God, he can confirm it by miracle, and then all the words that proceeded out of his mouth are true to what is written in this book. Then, whether we like it or not, this man is a prophet come from God. The question is asked Jesus again and again, who are you? And the Lord Jesus said this, I am altogether that what I told you from the beginning. The Lord Jesus is the only one whose testimony concerning himself can be trusted. There are some who say they are great ones, but they are not great ones. And there are some who confess that they are less than what God actually says that they are. Moses said this when he wanted him to go and preach to the nation of Israel. He said, Lord, he said, I'm not an eloquent man. He said, I don't have that ability to go and speak to the nation of Israel. And if you read the words that Moses spoke, if you read the words that Moses wrote, the beautiful challenges and songs that he wrote, you say, why? What the man said concerning himself was untrue. He was much greater than he confessed himself to be. And that's true. But the Lord Jesus was altogether everything that he said he was. And it was proved now. We have John the Baptist. We have the Father speaking from heaven. We have the Spirit, the Son. We have the miracles. And now this. Here are the 12 apostles, and I want to hear them collectively confess who Jesus is. The second time there was a storm on the sea, the Lord Jesus had sent them to the other side, and he had not come to them. But in the night, they saw him walking upon the water, coming to the ship, and they were frightened. And Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come to you. And he started to come to him when the Savior said, come. But then he saw the winds and he was afraid and he started to sink. And the Lord Jesus put out his hand and saved him from drowning. And he said, O, you of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when the Savior entered into the boat, it says, the storm ceased. And they feared and they worshipped him and said, of a truth, you are the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, the Holy Spirit will bear witness of me, and you shall bear witness of me. And the 12 collectively have said, you are the Son of God, and they have worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, this testimony is complete then. There is no one who is not borne witness to who Jesus is. True. But I want you to understand that those who have confessed him as the Son of God, at times when events occur that they do not understand, then they say, I will not believe. I'm thinking of Thomas and I'm thinking of Nathanael. Let me tell you of Nathanael first. When friends of his came and testified concerning the Savior, They said, we found Jesus of Nazareth, the promised Messiah, he of whom Moses wrote. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they said, come and see. And the Lord Jesus, for witness to his omniscience, because Nathanael said, when Jesus said, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile, Nathanael said, how is it that you know me? And the Lord Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael knew that this one knew his downsitting and his uprising. He knew his thought afar off, and he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And so we find individuals as well as apostles collectively acknowledging who Jesus is. And therefore, we are without excuse if we do not know who Jesus is. He's altogether who he said he was. And the testimony started with John the Baptist. And some, when he gives the testimony, follow the Lord Jesus. And they followed him that day when he said, behold the Lamb of God. They followed him and went to his home and spent that day with him. And they learned that day who he was. And I would like to say they never doubted. But they did. And just as Nathanael was sure who he was, Thomas was unsure. He was sure that he had not risen from the dead. But you know how? He came a week later and he presented himself to Thomas. He said, now thrust your hand into my finger, your finger into my hands and into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And this is what Thomas said. He said, my Lord and my God. I've given you a sevenfold witness and more as to who Jesus is. Jesus is the only begotten, beloved Son of God the Father. And let us never be shaken from that conviction. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the abundance of testimony that you've given. We pray that you will forgive us, our God, for not knowing who Jesus is. Who, if someone comes and asks, who is this Jesus that you say is your Savior? Let us be able to say from all the witnesses that we've heard from and read about this day, Jesus is the only begotten, beloved Son of God. And we are thankful, our Father, that the confirmation is abundant. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Our Father, in the mouth of dozens and hundreds and thousands of witnesses, now the testimony is established. Because in the past, when Christ was on earth, men confessed him to be the Son of God. And after his resurrection, he was confessed. And this day, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We thank you for the sevenfold witness concerning who Jesus is, our Father. We believe. Amen. The meeting is over.